All right, while they get set up, I'll give thanks to God. I'm thankful to be here today and that I can see you all. I wasn't sure if I'd be able to make it to church and see you because my trip back is very quick. But I thank God that we are able to come to church and meet in person. In Peru, things are still pretty locked down. We are able to come meet in person, but we still have to wear double masks and can't see people's faces. And it's really nice to see people's faces. But I thank God today for celebrating our country and the freedom that we have in Peru. The government is very unstable and probably about to get a communist president. So we don't know what the future looks like. And as we look at the future and are unsure, we know that God is still in control. And so we know that our job as Christians is to seek the Lord and keep obeying Him no matter what the government does or says. And so we thank God that we are able to meet freely here in this country, and we pray that it continues for a long time. For those of you who don't know, I'm getting married next month, so that's why I'm back to visit family real quick before I don't come back for I don't know how long.
Noticed this morning there's a little gospel tract back there. It'd be a good day to pass these out if you see that. But it says at the heading, "The human heart craves freedom. Americans know what it means to fight for it, die for it, march for it, campaign for it, and to live in the enjoyment of it. But are we really free? Can you say for certain that you are completely free from the bondage of sin, death, fear, worry, and doubt? God wants you to be free. The message of the Bible is that true freedom comes only through Jesus Christ." And then it goes on and tells how to be saved. That's a good track to give out on the 4th of July, isn't it? Well, this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to please turn to Leviticus. The book of Leviticus, chapter 25. Leviticus, chapter 25. It's good to have our visitors with us today. Let me say that again. And I hope you have a great day today. Leviticus, chapter 25. And let's read verse 10. Leviticus 25:10. "And ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. And the reason I chose this passage of Scripture is this is the verse that is on the Liberty Bell. And I'd like to read to you what Dr. Henry Morse said concerning this particular passage. This verse is especially significant in American history as the verse from which the great exhortation was taken on the first Independence Day. Proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants thereof. It has ever since been associated with the Liberty Bell and Independence Hall. As Americans each year thank God for the land of the free, the verse is also significant as it contained the first mention of liberty in the Bible. In its biblical context, it is established the Jubilee year when all those Israelites who had sold themselves into bondage were set at liberty. The founding fathers of our nation evidently believed there was a parallel between freedom from bondage to the King of England and freedom from bondage in ancient Israel. There is always a danger that a free country will someday allow itself to be brought again into bondage, and also a danger that a believer will fall back into sin. To both, God would say, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And I want to say this morning that I believe as Americans, as a nation, we have relinquished a lot of our freedoms over the past several years. And this is not the same country that I grew up in, not at all. And I think Benjamin Franklin correctly stated when he said those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety neither deserve liberty or safety. It seems to me that our nation has lost its independent spirit. We have become too dependent on government. And I just want to tell you, I'm against, 100% against the nanny state. Now, I'm not a long-haired country boy, but I wish they'd just leave me alone. It's almost silly these days to say, give me liberty or give me death. Most people today just say, give me.
That's right.
But for all of Americans, all of this country's failings, God has certainly blessed our nation. There's no doubt about it. This land is a land of opportunity. It's a land of opportunity. And that's why so many people risk their life trying to get here. Is because it's a land of opportunity. But things, as we look around us, things are deteriorating quickly. And I said this last year, and some of you looked at me like I had two heads. I'm going to say it again. This time I've got proof of what I was saying last year is true. A new Zogby poll finds that 46% of Americans think that the U.S. is headed toward a civil war. I said that last year without a poll. If God doesn't do something, we're heading down a bad road, folks. And you know, America, for the most part, has forgotten God. And even those, people are like, oh, I like Tucker. Tucker Carlson's not a conservative Christian. Let me give you an illustration of that. I don't watch Tucker Carlson, but I sometimes will download what he says and listen to it. He had some of you know what I'm talking about. There was a man went into a woman's sauna or gymnasium or something and walked into that place naked. And a woman jumped all over the management for letting him do that. Did you guys know that? You didn't know that? Well, see, you're smarter than I am. You don't take in all this garbage. Anyhow, Tucker Carlson wanted to get a perspective on it. You know who he asked? He asked Tammy Bruce. You know who Tammy Bruce is? She's a lesbian. You don't ask a lesbian what she thinks about a man walking in a woman's locker room. He's not a conservative Christian. You're welcome for that. You know, he does say some things that are right. I agree with that. But Dad used to say, you know, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn every once in a while. God even knows who we think as conservatives are by and large, they're God haters and Bible deniers. And if you really start telling the truth out of the Bible, they would be mad at you. God gives us warning, though, doesn't he? He says, "Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver." God can bring down a nation just as easy as he can bring down a person. And a lot of nations have imploded. In other words, they've destroyed themselves from the inside. But truthfully, I don't want to be a downer all service. Truthfully, we have no idea what tomorrow holds, do we? I mean, as individuals, we don't know what tomorrow holds for any of us. And I think most of us here, I hope, are patriotic. We love this country. I think that's true. But again, this is not our real home. I mean, as much as I love America, and as much as I'm patriotic, this is not my destination. And you have to keep that in mind or you'll get out of kilter. We're pilgrims and strangers even in this nation. The Bible says, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." I'm going somewhere else. I'm just traveling through here right now. You and I may not be here tomorrow. We have no guarantees. We may move on to our permanent dwelling. I hope your permanent dwelling is heaven. I hope you know Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, the most important thing to consider is the freedom that comes by knowing Jesus Christ. So I'd like to preach to you a few minutes on liberty in Christ. There's liberty in Christ. You may lose your liberty. Susanna's talking about Peru. Who knows what direction that's going to go. But you can still, living in a country that's a socialist, communist country, you can still have liberty in Christ. There is liberty, number one, there is liberty to souls enslaved in sin. There is liberty to souls enslaved. I'm going to ask you to turn, I think, maybe three times. So if you have your Bible, look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And if you don't like political stuff, I'm probably done, so you can breathe easy now. Okay? John chapter 8. Except I would kick that girl off Olympic team when she did what she did the other day. But anyway, John chapter 8. Verse 34. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." I'm here to tell you today that Jesus came to set our souls free from the slavery of sin. He came to set our souls free from the slavery of sin. He has come, the Bible says, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. He came to set us free. Justification. Justification sets us free from the guilt of sin. Is that not so? Justification Justification sets us free from the guilt of sin, and sanctification makes us free from the bondage of sin. The songwriter said, I felt him loose the chains of sin and set my spirit free. I know what Jesus did for me. Can you say that today? Has He set you free? He sets us free from the guilt of sin and from the bondage of sin. And just like the Jews in Jesus' day, they denied, when He was talking to them here, they denied that. They said, we've never been in bondage. What a silly thing to say. They had been in bondage a lot of times. And you know what? When you talk to people about their soul, you know what they'll say? When you talk to people about their sin, you know what they'll say? I quit any time. I'm not in bondage. I quit any time. And you know that may be true. But I'm telling you, there'll come a day when you get so wrapped up in sin and sin's so wrapped around you, you can't get free. Just look at the drug addiction and the alcohol addiction and the sex addiction and the gambling addiction that's going on in our nation right now. Sin gets a hold of people. And they get in bondage to it, don't they? But here's the good thing. The Holy Spirit can convict people and show them that they are enslaved. The Holy Spirit can show people, hey, you are a mess. As the old time preachers used to say, He hems them up. He hems them up. I'm glad for that, aren't you? Notice Jesus' words, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now what does that mean? Does that mean if I sin, I'm a servant of sin? Not exactly. What it really means is that word, the key word there is committed. That means for somebody that continues in sin, has no remorse about it, doesn't care that they're continuing in sin. It's somebody that's a slave to sin. A person who continues in sin is in bondage to sin, even if they deny it. The hymn writer said, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed Thee. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Hey, my chains fell off. My heart was free. I'm just trying to tell you today, there's liberty in Christ. There's liberty, there's forgiveness in Christ. There's freedom in Christ. I'm glad for that today, aren't you? Hey, the whole political world might go haywire, but there's liberty in Christ. Secondly, there's liberty to live for Christ. There's liberty to live for Christ. If you would, look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. If you listen fast, we'll be out of here in time for you to go get a hot dog. Romans 6. Verse 15. Romans 6 and verse 15. What then? Paul's asking a question here. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. You know, some people get that attitude. And we get accused of it even when we don't have that attitude. How many times and I'm not putting down other denominations necessarily, but a lot of times people from other denominations, they'll say something like this, you Baptist. You know, when they say you Baptist, it's not going to be good. You Baptist believe you can get saved and live any way you want. Well, I don't believe that. Now, I guess there are some folks who believe that, but I don't believe that. And I don't think you believe that, and I know the Bible don't teach that. Paul said, should we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? He said, God forbid. That's not a license to sin, is it? And let's look at again, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were, underlined that in my Bible, past tense, ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Have you obeyed that form of doctrine which was delivered you? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you trusted Him? Then he said this, being then, verse 18, made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants unto uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now. Paul's saying there, you used to be a heathen. And you yielded your body to heathenism. I can understand that because I was a heathen. Lynn's telling me a story back here this morning about somebody she worked with for a while who said, I can't wait to get to hell. All our friends are going to have a party. But you know what? Sinners talk like that sometimes. And I told Lynn, I said, I probably said the same thing. I was a heathen. Paul says here, you yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and to holiness, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. John Bunyan in his Pilgrim's Progress has a man, he's called Mr. Facing Both Ways. He's facing both ways. You can't face both ways, folks. What fruit, verse 21, had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is what? Death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That ought to make you want to shout. Our real master is indicated by our life. Matthew Henry in his commentary said, all the children of men are either the servants of God or the servants of sin. These are the two families. Now, if we would know to which of these families we belong, we must inquire to which of these masters we yield obedience. Who's your master? Who's your Lord? Who do you obey? Why call you me Lord, Lord, Jesus said, and do not the things which I say? But I want to tell you today, salvation is a change of masters. But God be thanked, verse 17, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. I'm still a slave today. I'm still a servant. But I'm a servant of righteousness. I'm free from the bondage of sin, but I'm free to serve Christ. It's a change of... Have you ever went to a restaurant and the food was awful? We had that happen to us recently. Especially with all this health shortage going on. I got to say something more political. The government's got to stop handing out money to people so they go back to work. You're welcome. Now, if you ever went to a restaurant and had a bad meal and you thought, I ain't going back there no more. You ever done that? And then you drive by the window and it says, under new management. And you think, well, I might try it again. Can I tell you something? I'm under new management. If you're saved today, you're under new management. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Under new management. It's a change of life. It's a change of fruit. I've never really noticed this till this morning when I was reading this. But verse 21, he asks the question, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Then in verse 22, he says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness. So he mentions two fruit there. He mentions a fruit that's no good, and he mentions a fruit that's good. What are you producing? Good fruit or bad fruit? It's a change of fruit, isn't it? And let me tell you something, a change of fruit, it has to come from a change of root. Doesn't it? He mentions two ends in these verses. For the end of those things is death, verse 21 says. But then in the next verse he says, in the end, everlasting life. There's two ways, isn't there? There's two masters, there's two ways of serving, there's two fruits, and there's two ends. And you can't go to heaven walking to hell. I'm so glad there's liberty to live for Christ. You say, preacher, are you sinless? Nobody's sinless. If you ever meet somebody that says they're sinless, you're talking to a bozo. Spurgeon said, I met a perfect man and he was a perfect nuisance. Nobody's sinless. That's not what the verse is talking about here. The Bible here is talking about our direction of life. It's talking about the fruit we're producing. Every once in a while, I produce a clinker. But generally, if you come up to my tree, I'm hoping you'll find some good fruit. You get what I'm saying? The bent of my life, the direction of my life. I'm a plumber. I was underneath a crawl space. I don't understand how this works, but there was a bunch of plants growing under there. Have you ever seen that, Les? You've been construction work. There was a bunch of plants growing under that crawl space. And in the sides of the foundation, there were vent blocks. You know, cinder blocks turned sideways or something, where light could get in. You know what those plants were doing? They were all moving that direction. Now, they was white and yellowy looking and not healthy looking, but hey, you know what they's doing? They's moving toward the sun. Hey, if you're a Christian, you ought to be moving toward the light. You might be kind of yellow and not looking too healthy. You might not be the best plant in the world, but if you're a true Christian, you ought to be moving that way. Is that not right? Even in the worst circumstances, a house sitting on top of you, that's a pretty bad circumstance. Those plants were still moving toward the light. I'm just trying to tell you today, we ought to live for the Lord. And God has made it possible for us to live for the Lord. He's given us liberty to live for the Lord. You can get help. You say, preacher, you don't know, I struggle with this sin or that sin. I'm telling you, if you'll go to Him, He'll help you with it. Now, it won't happen overnight a lot of times. Sometimes it does. But a lot of times it doesn't. A lot of times you'll struggle, you'll keep going. And then one day you'll wake up and you say, I hadn't even struggle with that for a long time. Y'all believe that? It happens, doesn't it? I'm just trying to tell you that. Live for the Lord. He'll help you. Live for the Lord. There's liberty to souls that are enslaved to sin. And there's liberty to live for Christ. And then thirdly, there's an everlasting liberty for the children of God. There's an everlasting liberty. Aren't you glad this is not all there is? Aren't you glad this is not all there is? I mean, sometimes even Matthew Henry's commentary said life can be rocky and rough. Sometimes life's rocky and rough, isn't it? It can be tough sometimes. There's a lot of bad things can happen. I'm glad this is not all there is. I want you to look at Romans chapter 8, please, in verse 18. Romans 8, verse 18. I want you to read this with me and pay attention to what he's saying. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I just got to pause right there and think about that a minute. You say, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. He does. God knows. And the Bible tells us here that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. In other words, when we get to heaven, it's going to be like a drop in a bucket. All the bad things that's happening, all the difficulties in life, all the sickness, the pain, the heartache, the debt, all that's just going to seem like a nothing. I know you can't understand that now, but I'm telling you that's what the Bible says. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. What he's saying there is we're all suffering because of a fallen world. Everybody is suffering because of a fallen world. That's why we have sickness. That's why we have death. That's why we have heartache. That's why we have sin. That's why we have crime. That's why we have murder. That's why we have perversity. We're living in a fallen world. And the whole creation groans. The whole creation groans. Everything's groaning under the load of it, including us. But one of these days, we've got a glorious liberty ahead of us, don't we? Notice what it says. Verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. In other words, Paul's saying, the whole world's groaning, sinners are groaning, even we are groaning. We're all feeling it, aren't we? Waiting, notice what he says, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I'm just trying to tell you now, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I'm redeemed. But I tell you, this body isn't redeemed. It's not redeemed yet. And your body's not redeemed yet. But there's coming a day when this body's going to be redeemed. God is going to make all things new, isn't He? And this old body, the Bible says, this old body of corruption, that's what it is, isn't it? This body, listen, the moment that doctor holds that baby up in the air and spanks its bottom, that baby's taking a march toward death. We're all dying. This is a corrupt body. That's why you got to, Mr. King, the high school teacher, you said, aren't you glad you used dial? Don't you wish everybody did? That's why you got to put stuff on, smell good, because you're corrupt. That's why you got to brush your tooth. Teeth if you have more than one. Because we're corrupt, aren't we? Our bodies are. That's why you got to spray foo-foo on yourself so you smell good. These bodies are corrupt. These bodies are corrupt. They're dying, aren't they? But we're going to put on incorruption. There's coming a day these bodies are going to put on incorruption. These old bodies that are falling apart on us, we're going to get a new one. Now you young girls, you don't even know what I'm talking about. You don't care. You fellas back there, you don't care. You're not old yet. But I tell you, as you get older, you kind of look forward to that. Don't you? You can shake your head. Some of y'all are older. This body starts playing tricks on us, doesn't it? But this body's going to put on incorruption. I'm glad for that. We've got an everlasting liberty ahead of us. Everlasting liberty ahead of us. He has redeemed the believer's soul. If you're saved today, He's redeemed your soul. You have the first fruits of the Spirit. We're sealed until the day of redemption. What does that mean, sealed until the day of redemption? I thought I was redeemed. He's talking about the redemption of the body. We're sealed until the day of redemption. Let me give you an illustration. All you ladies order from Amazon. I know Evelyn does. I got a package on the door about every day. She's sitting there thinking, you do too. Sometimes that package shows up and it's beat all to pieces. You ever had one show up like that? And you think to yourself when you look at it, whatever I ordered has got to be broken in there. Well, I got news for you. This box is probably going to get pretty beat up, but it's going to be sealed. And if you're saved, your box may go out of here kind of beat up, but it's going to be sealed and it's going to make it all right. I'm glad I'm sealed to the day of redemption, aren't you? I'm glad He did the sealing. Now, let me just mention this. What about this world? What about this world? Well, I'll tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Abideth forever. And listen, I'm patriotic. I love America. I love this country. But I have to get some perspective, and you do too. And I think John Newton, the old slave trader, the man who wrote Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, he said it right when he said, a lot of times, he said, especially for a preacher, it gets mixed up in politics. He said, it's like arranging the furniture on a sinking ship. In other words, you better keep your priorities straight. Old Lester Roloff said, people would say, why don't you run for office? Or won't you do this? And he said, I can't step down. They say, you ought to run for president. And he said, I can't step down. Hey, listen, we're a child of the King. We're a child of the King. That's something to be glad about, isn't it? That's something to be glad about. Do you know Him today? Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you been set free? Have you been set free from the bondage of sin? Do you know what it is to lay your head down at night and say, God, thank you for forgiving me? You know what it is to say, let me just put it this way. You know what it is to say, God, I'm just a worthless, no good so-and-so. Thank you for loving me anyhow. That's how we ought to feel about it, isn't it? He's merciful, isn't he? He's wonderful.